Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a man remains in custody this evening as part of the investigation into the Creaslaw explosion. Tributes are being paid today to former Donegal councillor Seamus Rogers, who has passed away at the age of 90. A West Tyrone MLA has warned that defective concrete blocks is a huge problem that is coming down the tracks in Northern Ireland. And 272 children in Donegal are overdue an assessment of need. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news, a man remains in custody this evening as part of the investigation into the Creaslaw explosion. He was arrested earlier today. Eamon Torsney has more.
Four men, three women and three children died in the explosion in Creaslaw, County Donegal on October 7th, 2022. This morning, Gardaí investigating the incident arrested a man in his 60s for alleged offences contrary to the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act. He's currently being questioned at a station in the northwest region. Gardaí say the investigation into the explosion at a building complex in Creaslaw is ongoing and continues to be led by local Gardaí in the Donegal division, supported by the Garda National Bureau of Criminal Investigation and other agencies. There have been four previous arrests in relation to the explosion and all four were released without charge.
Tributes are being paid today to former Donegal councillor Seamus Rogers, who has passed away at the age of 90. A trade union official, he was first elected onto the council in 1960 as a member of Sinn Féin. After the party split, he aligned with the Workers' Party, going on to serve as a member of Democratic Left and then the Labour Party. He lost his council seat in 1999 after serving nearly 40 years, but remained a community worker and activist for the rest of his life. As well as numerous local elections, he contested 12 Dáil and two European elections. Former TD and Junior Minister Denis McGinley has been remembering him fondly.
Between county council elections, elections for Dáil Éireann, elections for Udras and Gaeltachta, I think it was probably a national record. Seamus was liked and admired by everyone. I would say that Seamus was one of the few people who never made an enemy in politics, but it was all friends. And he was very involved, not alone in politics, but in sport, of course. He was a founder member of the local GA, the Muia, and president of it for many years. And he also was a chairman of the county board of the GA. So many other activities to do, whether it was care of the aged. He was particularly interested in the welfare of the islands. No matter what issue was involved, Seamus had something to say, something to contribute. When he ceased being a public representative, he still was there, always acted and worked on behalf of his people and on behalf of the public. And he was, of course, very interested in the Irish language and always used it at any time it was possible. He was an institution in West Donegal, Seamus Rogers, liked by everyone, dedicated and sincere.
A West Tyrone MLA has warned that defective concrete blocks is a huge problem that is coming down the tracks in Northern Ireland. It's understood remediation works have been carried out on six social homes in the north, while one private dwelling has been identified as being impacted by the crisis that's affecting thousands in Donegal. The North Finance Committee, however, says there is currently no evidence that defective blocks pose a systemic issue across Northern Ireland. Daniel McCrossan says it's clear no efforts are being made to investigate or identify affected properties. He told a committee meeting earlier that people are living in fear as no support is available.
I'm very concerned about this, that this is going to emerge over the next number of years. I've been in the number of homes that have been affected. People are afraid to come forward because there's no support available or very little information. Derry and Strabane District Council have a registration process where you register your property if you believe it's affected, but really that's as far as anything has ever went. So I think we need to delve further into this, to be honest. The border is free-flowing, it's non-existent. We travel across it quite freely on a daily basis, and products and services and all sorts of things do likewise. Given how Donegal has been affected, you know, it's only common sense to assume that those blocks are right across Strabane, Castledeirg, as far as Oma, and certainly in Derry. They didn't stop at the border. There's no regulation of these products in that regard. And organically, unfortunately, they have ended up in the north. This may not have emerged as a wide-scale problem just yet, but the real reason, similarly to Donegal, is that people are sitting on this because they're afraid of the huge impact it will have on their homes, on their families, on their livelihoods, on their financial freedom, if you like, because this would really lock them into a very difficult situation, particularly when there's no clear support available. And if the department are saying there's no evidence, they need to support that claim that there's no evidence, because I don't see that they've done anything to identify that this is a risk, because this is something that eventually could be a major, major problem. And I think that there should be work ongoing now to identify the huge risk that's there.
Well, fellow West Rowan MLA Malaysia McHugh believes the issue is much more widespread than is being reported.
I was surprised at the figures quoted just in our papers because, again, just as Daniel has said there, that I'm aware of more than six people who will say have been affected by this. And quite rightly, just as Daniel has pointed out as well, people are nearly afraid to say that they are affected by it, because that in turn will impact on them in terms of both insurance and even the resale of their house or anything else like it. So I do think that further investigation should be carried out there. Though, in saying all of that, I find it difficult to maybe understand what role it is that that the Northern Ireland authorities can have when the blocks that have been imported from the Republic of Ireland. And I know that for my own party, that they themselves are very involved in this whole issue, in Donegal in particular, and they also are concerned then too on how it is that it impacts on northern residents at the same time.
Aintu says it would offer new grants to attract Irish professionals back to the country. It launched its manifesto earlier, promising reductions to the USC and to reduce the cost of a pint. The party says it would create a junior minister to report to the Taoiseach weekly on government spending. Aintu leader Padraig Tobin says his party would incentivise young professionals to return to Ireland.
We would provide a grant for accommodation and transport, a €5,000 grant in those terms, and then a €10,000 tax break over 4 years if the individual stays and remains in working in those locations. We reckon that it will cost roughly about €350 million.
272 children in Donegal are overdue an assessment of need. Nationally, that figure has risen by nearly 4,000 in the space of 9 months. 12,722 children across the country, many with disabilities such as autism, are now waiting for the assessment, which determines what services they require. Andrew Lyth has more.
Children who request an assessment of need are entitled to have one completed within 6 months under the Disability Act. However, the number of children who are overdue is only increasing, with the latest figure for September up from 11,131, which was recorded at the end of June. A completed assessment outlines what services a child requires to meet their needs, and it would include the likes of occupational therapy and speech and language therapy, while some children are waiting years for such an assessment, with experts saying it can lead to regression.
Metairn is warning of dangerous road conditions overnight. A status yellow snow ice warning is in place for Donegal until midday tomorrow. Storm Bert, meanwhile, is due to make landfall tomorrow. A yellow wind warning comes into effect at 10 o'clock tomorrow night as a result. The jury in the civil legal action against Conor McGregor has been sent home for the night, having deliberated for less than an hour. The MMA fighter and his friend James Lawrence are being sued for damages by 35-year-old hair colourist Nikita Hand, who claims they raped her in a Dublin hotel. She claims it happened in the penthouse suite of the Beacon Hotel on the 9th of December 2018. Both men deny any wrongdoing, claiming they had consensual sex with Miss Hand. The jurors will resume their deliberations tomorrow morning. A Buncrana councillor has expressed concern about reports that a group of young people attempted to set fire to the Festival Park play area earlier this week. The incident happened on Tuesday night. Councillor Joy Beard is urging those responsible to stop and is asking parents to speak it to their children. She says Gardaí are investigating the incident.
Thankfully, on this occasion, there was no major damage done, but it's extremely disheartening that a group of people went down there and tried to set fire to the play park. This behaviour will not be tolerated. I would like to urge anyone going down to the play park that they act responsibly. They need to think about their actions and the implications that their actions have. We have a fabulous, fabulous play park there that's fully accessible for everyone to enjoy, and this just cannot continue. There is CCTV in the playground and the guards have been made aware, but I would just like at this stage to encourage whoever is carrying out this antisocial behaviour to stop.
And obviously parents will be listening to this as well, and it's in parents' interest, in the interest of the whole community, to ensure that this play park is preserved. And if parents or people believe that their children or people they know may be involved in this sort of incident, maybe no harm to have a quiet word.
That would be exactly my thoughts as well. You know, if you have your children heading out in the evenings or late afternoons, make sure that they know what's acceptable and what's not.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with football. Fun Harps have announced the appointment of Damien Gillespie to the board of directors as International Commercial Officer. Damien hails from Balbuffet but has been living and working in financial services in London for over 30 years. He will concentrate on growing the club membership in the UK and further afield. Damien's first engagement will be to welcome a Fin Harps delegation to London to support the Donegal Association London Annual Dinner, which is taking place this coming weekend. Dundalk have confirmed Ken Kiernan as the new assistant manager to new boss Kieran Kilduff. Kiernan heads to Oriel Park after stepping down as Bohemians women's manager last week. He previously worked as Kilduff's number two at the Athlone Town women's team in 2022. Donegal's Amber Barrett, Tyler Toland and Anna Patton, whose family connections in the county, have all been named in Eileen Gleeson's squad for the Republic of Ireland's Euro 2025 playoff against Wales. Experienced defender Louise Quinn has been ruled out with a hip injury, while manager Eileen Gleeson is also without the services of injured attackers Elaine Malloy and Lucy Quinn for both legs. Defenders Aoife Mannion and Deanne Caldwell have both been named in the squad, while Megan Connolly, Risha Littlejohn and Megan Campbell return after missing the games against Georgia. Gleeson says she's hoping to earn a contract extension, but insists that she's fully focused on the team's bid to qualify for the Europeans.
Thoroughly enjoying. I love the role, but for me the focus now is full focus on the playoffs. So I think about nothing else, only these games against Wales. So yeah, I mean, I want to continue, and I love being in the job. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and yeah, that's the way I wanted to continue. But right now the focus is on getting these two games.
Well, Ireland go to Cardiff for the first leg on Friday week before hosting Wales in the return game at the Aviva on Tuesday, December the 3rd. Cross-channel Chelsea captain Reece James has suffered another injury setback and will miss this weekend's Premier League clash at Leicester. The defender only recently returned to action after missing the start of the season. Tottenham manager Ange Postecoglou has defended the character of Rodrigo Bentancur after he was given a 7-match ban. He was punished after making a racial slur about his teammate Son Heung-min during a television interview. Spurs have accepted his guilt but have appealed against the length of the ban. Now to rugby. Ulster back Cormac Ezeuchukwu and Leinster hooker Gus McCarthy will make their Ireland debuts in Saturday's Autumn Nations clash with Fiji. Head coach Andy Farrell has made 7 changes from last weekend's one against Argentina, without half Sam Pendergast handed a first start. Bundiaki, Craig Casey, Jacob Stockdale and Jamie Osborne also come into the new look back line. Stockdale will make his first appearance for Ireland since last year's World Cup warm-up game against Samoa. Leinster, meanwhile, are awaiting news on the scan of Jordy Barrett's latest knee injury. The New Zealand centre has been assessed after he was forced off in the first half of their loss to France last weekend. He's been ruled out of the All Blacks match against Italy on Saturday, and Leinster will be hoping that their incoming signing is not facing a lengthy spell on the sidelines. In colleges, Gaelic Games action this evening. ATU Donegal Ladies will play University Ulster Cork in the semi-final of the HEC LGFA League Division 2. The game starts at 7 o'clock at the Centre of Excellence under the Dome. And finally, on the Score programme this evening, after the 7 o'clock news, we'll hear from Niamh Padraig Éiscaigheán as the club prepare for a Saturday's Ulster final against Craigban. We'll be speaking with Captain Dermot Keevney and Chairman Joe Lynch. On the soccer front, we'll also be getting the thoughts of Gary Ferry about Derry City's new manager, Tiernan Lynch. While in our local soccer segment, Chris Ashmore will have a preview of this weekend's big games in the Ulster Cup. It's all part of the score tonight, Michaela, which is live after the 7 o'clock news.
Thanks, Aisin. For weather now, tonight will be cold with frost, with some icy stretches and scattered wintry showers. Lowest temperatures of -1 to +3 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. A man remains in custody as part of the investigation into the Creaslaw explosion. He was arrested this morning. Tributes are being paid today to former Donegal councillor Seamus Rogers. She has passed away at the age of 90. A trade union official, he was first elected onto the council in 1960 as a member of Sinn Féin. A Westron MLA has warned that defective concrete blocks is a huge problem that's coming down the tracks in Northern Ireland. It's understood remediation works have been carried out on 6 social homes in the north, while one private dwelling has been identified as being impacted by the crisis that's affecting thousands of homeowners in Donegal. And 272 children in Donegal are overdue an assessment of need. Nationally, that figure has risen by nearly 4,000 in the space of 9 months. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of Remain Evening News on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be speaking with Glenn Swilly, farmer Phelan Molloy, the chair of the Donegal Executive of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, which had a pre-general election debate in the county this week. But first, each year, the Department of Agriculture, in collaboration with MedErin, UCD Teagasc and Animal Health Ireland, advises farmers of the predicted risk of disease caused by liver fluke infection in livestock for the following winter. Well, this year's forecast is based on data gathered between May and October by MedErin. And according to the index, it says that it looks as if liver fluke will be most prevalent in the west and northern half of the country. While liver fluke levels have generally remained low for the past few years, there has been an increase for the first time since 2016 this year. To date this year, abattoir examinations showed an average of 39% of herds with at least one animal with liver fluke damage. Active infection in one or more animals was seen in 17% of herds. Counties in the northwest were more heavily affected, with 70 to 80% of herds in Sligo, Leitrim, Roscommon and Donegal reported to have signs of liver fluke at slaughter. The Donegal Executive of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association hosted a pre-general election debate in the Glen Swilly GAA Club earlier this week. To find out more about the meeting and also some of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association's own policies, I've been speaking to the chair of the executive here in the county, Phelan Molloy.
Yeah, first of all, good evening, Chris, and good evening to your listeners. Yeah, we had a very informative meeting in Glen Swilly GAA Club Hall on Monday night. 5 candidates attended there. Mary T. Sweeney from Mainstu, Thomas Pringle, Independent, Patrick McLaughlin, Sinn Féin, Charlie McConnellogue, Fianna Fáil, and Nuala Cara from the Green Party. Now, we had actually issued an invitation to all candidates. There was a number of apologies from candidates for one reason or another couldn't attend. But yeah, there was a very good discussion, and there was a lot of issues raised. Some of them would have been relating to agriculture, and then there were issues that would have been outside of agriculture. The main issues from an agricultural perspective would be the implications of the proposed nature restoration law and that what that might entail for farmers farming in the uplands in Donegal. The Mercosur deal was another issue that was mentioned, and the threats to actually Ireland's beef industry was something that was very much to the fore. At the moment, under the Mercosur deal, there's a proposal that would allow 99,000 tonnes of tariff-free beef into the EU. Obviously, that would have a massive impact on beef farmers in Ireland, and it got a fair bit of discussion. The whole issue about the role and the farmers' input into, say, prices and that. You know, there was a view expressed that farmers are price takers and the processors and that actually control the prices that are paid to farmers. And that is something that was actually mentioned in terms of a proposal the INTO put forward in relation to below-cost selling and that, a recent motion, a down motion. The whole issue about recruitment and retention of staff and the health services area was debated at length. A lot of the nurses that have been actually trained in Ireland are emigrating because the terms and conditions, payments, work hours, and that are much better foreign. So another issue that was mentioned as well was public transport. One issue that was raised, and I got a good bit of discussion, was that under new regulations, a farmer spreading slurry from 2025 will actually be required to use low-emission slurry spreading system. The context of that was that the costs involved, first of all, for the farmer to purchase the maybe tractors and the low-emission slurry spreaders and the safety of that on slope ground and uneven ground. And in fairness, the Minister for Agriculture said it was something that was actually going to be looked at from the perspective of the costs and that burden that would be placed on farmers.
Now, I know the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association has also put forward a number of proposals it wants to see implemented by whoever is in government. Amongst them, you'd like to see a significant increase, maybe a minimum increase of 25% in the cap budget post-2028.
Yeah, that's part of our document that we have actually produced. It's INHFA policy priorities from 25 to 28. And we are looking for a 25% increase in the overall cap budget. So that it would actually to keep pace with inflation, because over the last number of years, you know, there's been no significant increase in the overall cap budget. So we see that as being necessary in order to maintain the level of payments.
You also want to see a basic eco-scheme payment of €70 a hectare with a top-up payment of €30 a hectare for all farmers operating in a river basin that has blue water quality status as defined under the nitrates regulation.
Yeah, and the whole issue about water quality and that, it's very much into the fore now. And we are actually basing our proposal on requiring to maintain the water quality of those blue water systems. So that will be a compensation to farmers to actually try and maintain that water quality. We're also looking for an increase in the ANC budget, paying up to €6,000 in Category 1 down to €3,200 in Category 3 areas. It would be a huge benefit to farmers farming in the Category 3 areas.
Now, an interesting proposal, and it's got a bit of traction, is that the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association is proposing that there be an annual payment of €3,000 for farmers in Gaeltacht areas who have competency in speaking Irish. So tell us a little bit more about that.
In the past, there would have been a scheme where, say, civil servants, whether it be guards, teachers, doctors, and that, working in Gaeltacht areas would have got a payment. Now, my understanding is that those payments were actually discontinued from 2008 on when the financial crash came, but anybody that was in receipt of those prior to 2008 would still qualify. And this would actually be trying to address movement of farm families out of Gaeltacht areas. And in order for us to maintain, you know, culture in those areas, this would be just a very practical sort of way of compensating farmers to farm in those areas and the economic benefit that they bring to the area, but also to promote cultural events. And the speaking of the Irish language, obviously, it's under threat at the moment. So if this was actually supported, it would be very beneficial.
And that was Phelan Molloy, chair of the Donegal Executive of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. He's also the national chair. Irish Farmers, including two from Donegal, have joined forces for a new book combining scientific research with local knowledge that gives farmers and others practical tips on how to create a more sustainable future while protecting land and nature. At a time of great challenge and uncertainty for farm families, the Farming for Nature Handbook is a practical guide to protecting and restoring nature. The two Donegal farmers involved are Boyd Bryce from Inch Island and Cathal Mooney from Dunkaneely, and the book will be launched on November the 28th. And finally, in other news, the IFA has launched its Ready to Lead 2025 programme, which will identify the next generation of leaders to take up officer positions within the organisation. The six-day programme will be rolled out over three events across 2 days each throughout 2025, and it'll include sessions with leaders in the sector, political representatives in Dublin, and a study tour to Brussels to see the IFA office in action and to gain a better understanding of how the EU institutions work on the ground. This programme is for young farmers with an interest in agri-policy who can give a commitment to serving on one of the national committees of the IFA for at least a 2 year period. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, November the 21st, the death has taken place of Sarah Payne, known as Sally Ruskey Newton Cunningham. Her remains will repose at her home tomorrow from 12 noon to 10 o'clock. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 12:30 for 1 o'clock funeral service in Crossroads Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Bridget MacDonald, Tam, late of Dunaff, Uris Clamani. Her remains are reposing at her brother and sister-in-law Mac and Sally's residence, 3 Riverside Park, Clamani. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20, going to St Michael's Church, Uris for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Buncrana Nursing Unit and St Columkill Village, care of any family member or Comskey Funeral Directors. House private, please, from 10 o'clock until 10 o'clock and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Anne Murr, Tubin Burnfoot. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Patrick Joseph Logue, 44, Cedar Grove, Carndonna. Paddy will leave Kelly's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonna, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, going to his late residence. Removal from there on Sunday morning at 10:30 to the Sacred Heart Church, Carndonna, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in Lags Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Vincent de Paul, Carndonna, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. Family time, please, from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock. The death has occurred of Seamus Rogers, Annagree West. Seamus's remains are reposing at McGlynn's funeral home with rosary at 8 o'clock. Reposing there again tomorrow from 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Private removal afterwards to his home, which will be private. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning in the Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the Old Cemetery. The death has occurred of Anne Cullen, née Sheridan, Market Street, Rathmullen, reposing at her home today until after the rosary at 9 o'clock. Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, followed by interment in the adjacent cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. The Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. The death has taken place of Brian Saprina, Gordani, Quigley's Point and formerly of Sydney, Australia. Brian's remains will repose at Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonna, tomorrow from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock, followed by removal at 5 o'clock to St Mary's Church, Lag, to repose overnight. Brian's funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. and the death has taken place of Mary Rose Blaney, née Began, Ross Nikhil Fanad, formerly Aha Bog Monaghan. Her remains are reposing at her late residence, with family time pleas from 10 o'clock tonight. Rosary at 8 o'clock. Funeral Mass in St. Columba's Church Mass Mount Fanad tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.